Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Looking for entertainment beyond the Christmas Carol and the Nutcracker this holiday season? If so, you might be interested in two new musicals that have just opened in Boston theaters, Striking 12 by the Speakeasy Stage Company and The Blue Flower at the American Repertory Theater. We're hearing some of the music for The Blue Flower now. Morning Edition critic at large Ed Siegel joins us this morning to talk about these productions. Good morning, Ed, and welcome.
Happy holidays, Bob.
I'd ask if you were bringing any holiday seasonal cheer, but as I understand that The Blue Flower isn't exactly a holiday show.
No, Bob, if Santa and his elves are at the North Pole, then this one's at the South. It's not really a holiday show unless you spend Christmas thinking about the Weimar Republic.
Not exactly the first thing that comes to mind. So tell us about it.
Well, it's a real pastiche, Bob. It centers on four lovers, three of whom are members of various modernist art movements of the early part of the century. One of them's killed in World War I, though his presence haunts the rest of the show. And one of the women is a surrealistic singer in an avant-garde band of the era. This is Megan McGarry as Hannah.
Well, it has a little cabaret-ish feel to it, Ed, which the ART did recently, and you weren't fond of, as I recall.
Yeah, you're right, Bob. This one's a lot better than the Amanda Palmer show. It's a real full-bodied production conceived by Jim and Ruth Bauer, and it does all the things that make the ART special, a really imaginative stagecraft that utilizes film, movement, really smart storytelling, and in this case, music.
So you approve of The Blue Flower?
I loved watching it, which may be not quite the same thing as loving the production, but I think that the Bowers are really quite something. Great storytelling abilities, and they've developed a musical language that's really unique. Let's listen to Wild Horse Dancing. It shows you a little bit of what I mean. You can hear a lot of Kurt Vile and some country and western music, and maybe a little bit of David Byrne there, too.
Slow fox hunting with the Tsar, the Kaiser, and the kings.
Unusual, but I kind of like that. Any reservations?
Yeah. Well, yeah, when I said it was a pastiche, I think the Bowers would probably take that as a compliment. Blue Flower is very much in the spirit of the collage artwork of the day. Takes a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it mashes it all up together. But I think that approach kind of gets tiresome in the second half of the show once the Nazis make their evil presence felt. And, you know, at that point, I think we need a stronger unifying theme than the show has. I think they might have been better off just hinting at what was to come. You know, once you bring the Nazis on, then unless you're Mel Brooks, you better have something to say.
Okay, it's not the producers. So let's move on to the second musical, Striking 12. Tell us about it.
Well, it began in Philadelphia by a group named Groove Lily and book writer Rachel Scheinkin. And it was an attempt to find a middle ground between a rock concert and musical theater. It has three musicians, an electric violinist, a synthesizer player, and a drummer. And they tell the story of a man who's backed off of relationships and he's planning to spend New Year's Eve channel surfing instead of party hopping.
Now, as I understand it, it's a kind of contemporary version of The Little Match Girl. I remember the story of The Little Match Girl as being a pretty sad story, but I don't recall the details. Fill us in, and how does Striking 12 translate?
Well, that's actually what goes on in the musical. They remind each other of what the story was about, which is a little girl is selling matches on New Year's Eve, and she freezes to death.
So it's a Hans Christian Andersen story.
That's right. That's right. So in the play, one of the band members is visited by a door-to-door saleswoman, and she's selling holiday lights that combat seasonal affective disorder. And that reminds him of the story, so he decides he's going to read it. And much of the play consists of the three musicians going in and out of character, talking about the story and just about everything else. Here's a bit of my favorite number.
Screwed up people make great art. God gave them a running start.
Not exactly what I was thinking.
Screwed up people make great art. So that piece has a real irreverent sensibility, which I wish there was a little bit more of in the show. Most of the rest of the songs settle for a kind of middle-of-the-road path between rock music and show tunes that doesn't really show a whole lot of musical imagination, either lyrically or melodically.
So is it fair for me, Ed, to say that you think it was a good idea but not well executed?
Not beautifully executed, anyway. It has its moments, but I wish it had more of them.
So take in these shows, Ed, or skip them?
Yeah, no, I think they're both good takes. Could have been a little better, but I liked both of them.
Ed Siegel, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Bob.
The Blue Flower continues at the American Repertory Theater through January 8th, and the Speakeasy Stages Striking 12 is at the BCA's Calderwood Pavilion through January 2nd. Critic at large, Ed Siegel, reviews theater and the arts for WBUR's Morning Edition. Of your-